Parsha Parshas Korach. So I have here, I have two stars. I have my new favorite sefer called Das Konisa, written by Rabbi Gibbs, G-I-B-B-S. I believe it's with a B, maybe not. By Rabbi Yitzhak Zalman Gibbs. And one of the topics he mentions here in Parshas Korach is Korach challenged Aaron HaKoyim, Kol Ha'om Kulam Kidoshim, Uvesoichem Hashem. And when the parsha is over, the last man standing is Aaron and his family, and Korach and his 250 men and family. They have been removed, they have been dismissed from the scene, and Hashem says a nice warning to Klal Yisrael: make sure for all generations, the only ones that have a right to serve in the Beis Hamikdash are the Kohanim. So the question over here, the topic over here, I discuss. What about can a koyin the yichud? The main focus here in this section is bisman hazeh, after 2,000 years of golus, can a koyin today say with certainty that he is a descendant of Aroin HaKoyin?
Right.
And it's a very tough question. L'may nafkamina, pidyon haben. We're just going to speak about some generalities. There is really no clear answer to any of these questions, but let's just talk about some just very common scenarios, very common halachos which relate to this question. Can a kohen today say with certainty that he is a kohen? Pidyon haben. We have a child, we have an obligation to redeem the child by giving 5 coins to a kohen. This has nothing to do with the Beis Hamikdash. This has nothing to do with Tumah V'Tahara. You just need to have a person who is a Koyein to redeem the firstborn child. So you go to your local neighbor, he's a Koyein. Oh, you're a Koyein, here are the 5 shlomim of a party, of a ceremony, we'll make a bracha, v'chulu v'chulu. Is the child, has he been redeemed? Is the bracha, bracha levatala? Who says that this person you give the 5 coins to is really a Koyein miyuchas? It is not so simple. After 2,000 years of Golus, and a lot of tzarist, it's not so clear you could even make a bracha. You can make a bracha and say and give the money to a kohen to do pidyon haben. Okay, chas shalom to say such a thing. Gedoy lechazaka. The Gemara in Kiddush daf samach tes on the days. Tanya Rabbi Yosi Amir gedoy lechazaka shenemar. Or b'nei hakoyanim b'nei chavya b'nei hakoyts b'nei barzilai asher lokach b'nei barzilai hagelodia isha v'ikra al shemam. Elu bikshu kisav hamisyachashim v'loy nimtzahu v'yigolu menaku. They were rejected. So therefore, indeed, they were rejected. A coin that cannot prove his yichus may not eat from kodshim, but even though you cannot eat kodshim, but you can still have a chazokah. Chazokah, no one can take away from you. Kodshim, you can't eat. But chazaka you can, and that chazaka is good enough, obviously, to date for a person to be a recipient of the 5 coins, and even to make a bracha b'sheimu malchus. We do know that there were people who were firstborns; their entire life they would give 5 saloim to every coin they felt was a miyuchas, just in case the coin they gave the money to originally was not a coin miyuchas. Okay, that's something which you don't run around doing. We don't hear doing today. We accept the chazaka person as a presumption. If you're a Kohen, your father was a Kohen, your grandfather was a Kohen, your great-grandfather was a Kohen, we assume you're a Kohen all the way back to Aaron HaKohen, you can make a bracha, and there's nothing more you have to do. Some people have claim they have better yichus, the Rappaport family claims they have better yichus,
Lieberman's.
Okay, they're different families. Okay, some kohanim, the big dilemma is, so besides the question, does the person who's a kohen have to have, the person who's a bukhar have to give the money back, give the money, does the kohen, is he allowed to accept the money? Maybe he's not really a kohen, and the money that he takes is gezel. So there are some kohanim in that will give back the money. Will give back the money on the chashash that they might not be a real kohen. Some do not approve of this, because if you give back the money, then it's not as a joke, it's a kuchu tlula. So it's a matana, I'm not really redeeming. I'm giving you the money and you're giving it back to me. So it's not a matana gemura. So
but
some
you
say,
don't know in advance.
Oh, that's good. You should talk. If you don't know in advance, that would be ideal. But some are, they're very famous kohanim. They're very famous. Everyone knows they're celebrity kohanim. the Rashivis, the big Gedolei Yisrael, everyone wants to use them, the Rabbanim, so everyone's on record, everyone knows what their custom is, so it can be a problem. I believe Rav Pam did not give back the money. Rav Pam was a Kohen, Rav Pam was a very popular Kohen, Rav Pam told to give back the money, and that makes the Matan into Matana, which would not be a valid, which would question the validity. He gave it back. He didn't give back. Rav Hanel did not give back. Okay, so there are different customs. Okay, another Shiloh. Another Shiloh is a man is a Kohen and he marries a Grusha. Okay, this is not so uncommon. Okay, people are not observant. Balei Tshuva, whatever the situation is, and you have a person who's a Kohen and he marries a Grusha, or he is engaged, he's madly in love with a Grusha, and he wants to marry a woman who's a Grusha. It's an Issa Deraisa. So he says, listen, let me marry her, or let me remain married to her, because who says I'm even a Kohen? Who says? Can you imagine? It's like, you ever watch Superman? He wanted to give all of his power so he can marry Lois Lane. Right? Right? You remember that scene? You want to give up? So the guy's a fool. The guy's willing to give up the koyach to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. The guy, can I get into trouble for saying all this? Marry a Grusha. Wow. Ooh. You didn't hear the joke? It's not important. It's not.
No, this over here, what? Someone wanted to.
A Kohen is, let's say he's married to a Grusha. He's married to, let's say he's a Baal Tshuva, the Baal Tshuva. They're married by accident or by will, and now it bothers him. His conscience bothers him. When he comes into a community of religious or observant Jews, they say to him, listen here, you can't daven here. You can't get an aliyah. You can't participate. You're a Kohen. You're married to a Grusha. You're living in sin. Sorry, Shulchan Aruch, get divorced. We can't help you. We can't help you with this problem. So he says, I don't want to get divorced. I like her. I'm happily married. Maybe you can find the solution. So maybe we can. Maybe we can say, listen, maybe he's not really a Kohen. Who today can say, so one thing, we in advance, we can maybe prevent him. We can prevent him. There are consequences. But what happens if he already got married by accident? He didn't know. He was not observant. He was ignorant. Or, let's talk about, this is a little bit better, this case might be more like Elohim Lemaisa, Chalutza. He marries this Amayshahaya, a man he married a woman. He married a woman who had chalitza. So chalitza is only midirabanan, it's not a deraisa. Marrying a gerusha, a woman who's a gerusha, is an issa deraisa. But a woman who had chalitza, her husband died without any children, she had chalitza. For her to remarry a kohen is only this midirabanan. So in a situation where a person did not know that you're not a kohen may not marry a chalutza, and he married her, and then it was discovered years later that she was a chalutza, and this is not permitted, and it was not done, it was done by accident. Maybe he's allowed to remain married, since only midrabanan, it's only midrabanan, and who says that he's a kohen? Another instance shal he presents over here was a maya shahaya. They built a shul, and there was a real shiloh. The shul was built on a cemetery, okay? Or they expanded the shul, okay, in some type of. There was on the cemetery, so the shiloh was the kohanim, a lot of davening in the shul. Are there a lot of davening in the shul? Maybe they had a lot of multiple tzedekas. Was it a cemetery? Is it not a cemetery? If it was a cemetery, was it removed? And even if everything is in the worst scenario, who says you're a kohanim yuchasim, that you're not allowed, that you're not allowed to be metamel lemeis? So after, what?
Shabbos Ravine, where the Dodgers play,
yeah,
was built in what used to be
a cemetery.
But they were
mafanet. So now you want to go to a game. You want to go to that stadium. Are kohanim allowed to go? So all of these are shilas, and these shilas you have to take into consideration the possibility that bisman is that person is not a kohen. He says something very, very fascinating. Rabbi, the end. You always learn something new. Everything is new, but this real new is that we know that we do not duchen chutz liaretz. Why not? Why don't we duchen? There were attempts by two gedolei Yisrael to reinstitute duchening in chutz liaretz. The Gra, the Sfardim, but not Ashkenazim. Who wanted to reinstitute the Duchening? The Gra, and who else? The Chassam Sofer. Both the Gra and the Chassam Sofer, they said there's absolutely no reason why we should not Duchen in the Chutz Liaretz, and therefore they made a very strong attempt to reinstitute, And at that, both of them, the same thing, there was a fire that broke out the day that they started to reinstitute, very bizarre, both the Gur and the Chassam, same exact story. And they took this as a sign from heaven that this is not a good idea, it should not, don't do, you only do it in Chusler, as Vayashkenazim on Yom Tov. Now, why? How did it ever happen that we don't duchen? So there are many. The most common answer is because you have to duchen the ahava, with love, with simcha. And if you're living in Chutz Liaretz, the tirdus, the parnasa, the galus, the persecution, the tsaris, there is a lack of simcha. Memela, we cannot in the kam the midst of the way it's meant to be done. Therefore, we don't do it. He cites here another time. What? There is simcha in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a land where it's a whole different dynamics of the land are entirely different, regardless of the security situation. The land of Eretz Yisrael is a land that you duchen. You're right, it's a kasha. I don't know the answer.
Whatever it is,
but he brings here a fascinating answer why duchening was not done by Ashkenazim and Chutz Liaretz. Who says the Kohanim Yuchasim? They shouldn't even duchen on Yom Tov. Not the Shiloh, twist it around. Why do you duchen during the week? Don't ask me why. Why do you duchen on Yom Tov? You're a Kohen Miyuchas. What right do you have to get up there in front of the Arna Kodesh and duchen? You're not a Kohen Miyuchas. So you know why you duchen on Yom Tov? It's because so there's another halach in Shulchan Aruch, which we don't do today anyway, and that's Chala. Another shot. Chala, why don't we give Chala to Kohanim as Man Hazeh? So they're tame. That's not a problem. The only tumah is tumas keri. All a koyin needs to do bizman hazeh is go to mikvah. A koyin goes to mikvah bizman hazeh. You don't need to be tame. You don't need to be chala. You don't need to be tar from tumas meis. You only need to be tar from tumah hayotzei migufoi. And the tumah hayotzei migufoi either ziva or tumas keri. Ziva, we're not chayish with ziva. There are those who are chayish and echanami. That's why some don't go to harabayis because the chashash of ziva. All right, but there are chayish with ziva. So a person about carry, you go to mikvah. You go to mikvah, and you are technically entitled to receive chala.
What about hazozayin?
You don't need it. You don't need hazozayin. You know that's tum. That's tumas hames.
Yes,
for tumas carry, to only tumah hayotzei migufa, you do not need hazo. Hazo is only for tumas
neis. I know, but you're tumah from
ziva.
From
what? You don't need chala. Does not need tumas neis. Chala does the chala. You're allowed. Kohen is allowed to receive chala even if he's tumah tumas neis. If not mistaken, that's what it seems to say over here. That's what it seems to say. There's no problem of tumas neis. It's only a tumah hayotzei migufa. So why can Kohanim? We say, no, why? Because Kohanim are not unbelievable. For this week, Chayish, they're not Meyuchasim. And eating Chal is, I guess, Isser Bidei, is an Isser Misa Bidei Shemayim. It's serious stuff. It's Misa Bidei Shemayim. Misa Bidei Shemayim, they're not going to play around with. Getting an Aliyah is no big deal, because getting Aliyah, you really can give a Talmud Chacham an Aliyah. Getting an Aliyah is just a matter of fact. They say, according to one approach, it will be very fascinating, is getting an Aliyah is only because you know why you get an Aliyah? You're a Kohen? Not because you're a Kohen. Because you have a chazak of getting the first aliyah. It's not because you're a kohen. If you're really a kohen, we should give you challah. You should, there are other things that go along. You should be able to avoid that. You don't have a chazak. You have a chazak of getting the first aliyah. That's it. That's what it says, according to some opinions. Nothing more than that. Tell her to say such a thing. That's why it's a zecha. You give a coin, and you give a coin. So who's the one that fulfills the zecha of the first that goes to the coin? You. You're the one who has the hazak in the first aliyah. Not because you really believe you're a coin. Pidyon aben, no. It's money. Money. So you'll get some money. Big deal. We'll give you a few bucks. Staka, give you a gift. A bracha? It's a kasha. It's taka kasha. You can make a bracha. I don't know the answer why it's so easy to make a bracha. And as far as duchening, I don't know. I guess
brachas also suffered brachas lahakol.
So you shouldn't make the bracha. No, you shouldn't make the bracha. Obviously, this is not what gedolei lecha. Chazaka is really sufficient. Chazaka really is strong. It's very, very strong. You don't really go. But yet we don't give the tshuva. However, but we don't give. You go to mikvah. Give it to a child. You give to a child who never had carry, a boy under 9 years old. It's not shaykh. So he's tahar. He never is no tumah yotzei migufo by a boy under 9 years old. Menela, what's the problem? Go give him the challah. We don't do because we don't trust. However, there's a halacha. Here's the chiddush. that on Pesach, it's more than on Shulchan Aruch, we don't do this for some reason, on Pesach, you give challah. You give challah on your matzos to Kohanim. Why? Because then, by not giving the challah to the Kohen, it's like making a statement, you're not a Kohen. See, it's one thing to go say you're Vadaya Kohen. You're 100. That's, I can't say you're Vadaya Kohen. But to make a statement in shul, don't give this guy the first ali because he's not a Kohen.
Vadaynat,
that you'll never do. Chas v'sholem, gedoy l'chazaka. Chas v'sholem ever to go make a statement that a person is not a Kohen. You have a chazaka. Pesach, what? Because Pesach, it's the ferhesia. On Pesach, there's so much challah to be given. I guess today we don't do, I don't know why, but today it's not like this. In ancient times, there was so much challah, and there are kohanim. By not giving the challah of the matzah to the kohen, throwing it in the garbage, or burning it, it's as if you're making a public statement, you're not kohanim. All of you people, you're not kohanim.
The challah has already been given in the bakery.
Okay, the way we do it today is different. But in time, whatever, how it was, it was done in time of Chazal, you bake matzahs and you're by yourself in the house. Everyone bakes matzahs at home in their own little oven, you make matzahs, you go to a communal pot, and you take challah, and there's a kohen standing right there. Well, you're not going to give him the challah, you're going to burn it? By burning the challah, it's if you're making a public statement, you are not a kohen. What a bizayin. What a bizayin to do that. They have no choice. So in Echnami, it used to be the minhag that Erev Pesach, or when you make matzah, you give the challah to the kohen. Bizman hazeh, but during the weekday, you bake bread, no one's watching, people are working. When you're baking the bread, it's not bifarheh, it's not bifarheh.
Does an Eishes kohen have to take challah?
Of course she does. Eishes kohen take challah, and they don't take challah, right? Do they? They do take challah. They do, and they give.
The husband is a kohen.
But they don't. They take challah.
They shouldn't have to. A suffix.
Do kohanim take challah? I believe they do take challah. They do take challah. Kohanim take, and they give it to someone else. They give it to someone else. So the answer is, during the weekday, during the whole year, it's not bifarhesia. It's not so noticeable. So therefore, it's not as if you're making a public statement because no one's watching anyway. So here's the incredible chiddush: when it comes to birchas kohanim. On a regular Shabbos, a regular day, people aren't paying attention. I'm in a rush to go to work. So by not allowing the Kohanim to do Duchen, it's not viewed as a public statement, you're not a Kohen. Because, I'm sorry, I don't have time to Duchen. I have to run to work. I'm busy, I gotta go to work. The train's leaving. So the fact that I didn't Duchen today, is not an indication I'm not a Kohen. But Yontif, okay, Rabbi Sakha. But on Yom Tif, when people are very busy, everyone is coming together, and if they're not in the duchen, that amounts to a public statement that you're not a kohen, and therefore on Yom Tif you can't really make right. Then kohanim should not duchen on Yom Tif. Unbelievable chiddush, because who says you're a kohen? But to go so far and say to make a statement you're not a kohen, that will never do. So during the weekday and on regular Shabbos, where people aren't paying so much attention, people are fatach, their Torah and other things. So it's not so noticeable. But Yom Tov, it would be noticeable. So therefore, we allow the Koyhanim to duchen. It's a fascinating new twist on why Koyhanim do not duchen chutz liaretz Ashkenaz on the weekday and on Shabbos. Okay, now
if someone
this
comes into shul and he says he's a kohen, you have to accept that he's a kohen.
No, you don't necessarily accept. This is a lot of shilas. A new person comes into town. He never saw this guy before. New fellow, and he says, "I am a kohen. I want the first aliyah." You do not necessarily have to believe him. The guy walks into the shul and he say, "Really, you're a kohen? Prove it. At least something. Give us at least some evidence. Was your father a Kohen? Was your grandfather? You have a matzeva in the family from a grandfather, a great grandfather, to show that you're a Kohen." The guy was like a Baal Tshuva. This happens. This happens all the time. They're Baal Tshuva. They have absolutely, they don't even know they're Jewish. Okay, forget about Yichus. They walk in and they say, "I'm Jewish, and I want to be Chayze B'Shuva. I want to learn about Judaism. I heard there's a class here. Shabbos across America. They come for a good meal. They see they're giving out free food and this and that. Yeah, you know what? I'm Jewish." Really, Jewish? Prove it. Who says you're even Jewish? Let's say somehow there's enough circumstantial evidence to prove that he's Jewish, which is not so simple either. Then he goes the next step. I'm a Kohen. Ooh, you're a Kohen. You want the first Aliyah. You don't believe him.
Maybe
he the halacha is Shavya Inish Isur al Nafshe. He cannot contaminate to the dead. He's not allowed to. All the chumas of Kohuna are upon him, but we do not have to mechabed him as a Kohen until he proves it to
but
be
is it
so.
Embarrassment,
so you can't just walk into shul and say you're a Kohen unless you can prove it. You have to by
publicly saying you're not a Kohen.
But that's only when you have established the chazaka that you are a Kohen, that you are a Kohen, then we can't take that away from you. But to establish the chazaka for the very first time, you have to have proof. You have to have some evidence. Okay, I think we're not going to have time for this. Now, this is pretty much describes all the various scenarios of kahuna. Of kahuna, bizman hazeh, all these different questions from this sefer. Now, I wanted to go to the next level. And the next level, the only really thing he mentions is one paragraph here. Rabbi Yisai, please. Rabbi. Let's now go to the next. Now, the next level is modern science. Modern science, there's a fellow... very recently, it's not that long ago, his name is what was his name? He walked into shul one day and he noticed this person who was a Svardi. He got an aliyah, they gave him a kahuna, and he had the color of his skin, the makeup, the way, everything about him was so different than this doctor. This doctor was there, he's an Ashkenazi. He's like one of he comes from Germany, descent, whatever descent he comes from, and he sees the Svardi, and he says to himself, how could this guy be a Kohen? How could it be that we're related? I'm a Kohen, he's a Kohen. He's so different than me. Could it really be that we could both trace our lineage back to Aaron HaKohen? And this individual was a scientist. He was an expert in DNA. And this triggered in him this research, this fantastic research, which has been spread throughout the world of trying to discover if there is a DNA gene for Kohanim. The person, and indeed he went through a lot of research to prove, this is not what I'm talking about online, and indeed he did find there to be a unique feature of the Y chromosome, which includes five different mutations in the Y chromosome, which is unique to, let's get a hold of this, to 98% of people today who call themselves Kohanim. You take a poll among people, go to every shul, who's a Kohen? Raise your hand. Open up your mouth, we're going to take a swab, we're taking some DNA. And you go to the laboratory, and then you take DNA from who's a Yisrael here, and who's a Levi. And you take a
Levi should also be from the
No, Levi have different. Yeah. Levi, give me one. And the Levium and the Yisraelim do not have this. These characteristics. I'm not familiar at all with these mutations in the Y chromosome.
No, what I'm saying is the Levium
also comes from, but it's a different branch.
Yeah.
The Levium also they cover the branch. So he did this study. He spent a lot of effort, a lot of money, a lot of research to see if they can identify a unique chromosome among people who call themselves Kohanim, and indeed he did. And the numbers are striking. The numbers are just awesome. And the question is, in halacha, to what degree do we take this into consideration? Benogea, when a person says that he is a Kohen, and he does not. And when we do a test, he does not have the gene. He does not have this gene. So is that a reyasa? Does that take away from his presumption, his chazak? He's getting kohen, first aliyah. He is getting pidyon ben money. He is not being metame lemeis. Or let's say he's married to a grusha. And now the question is, does he have to get divorced? Should we force him to get divorced?
Does he have to document by taking the test?
What? That's another question. Does he have to subject himself to taking this test? Let's say he did subject himself to taking this test, and he says, I'm willing to abide by the results, bein l'kula, bein l'chomra. And the results indicate that he's missing the gene. He doesn't have it. Or let's say, pumfaker, there's a Yisrael in the Beis HaKnesset. He takes the test, and guess what? He has it. He's no different than 98% of the Kohanim. How does halacha deal with this new phenomenon that has been discovered, that there really is this DNA gene? Now, also interesting is the Levium, so they, the same way there's a gene for Kohanim, let's do a gene for the Levium. It's very disturbing. This may actually go and strike down the entire science. Science is new. This is very, very recent. Only within the last 2 years, this has been developed even less. And they're still developing, and the Poskim are... they don't know what to say. This whole area of DNA is really an area of that where Dor Yosan. It really comes out very clearly. There are no poskim today that really have, I mean, he brings a lot of poskim, we'll talk about this, they poskim, but there are a lot of machlokedes, DNA testing when it comes to crimes. Mamzeros, we'll talk about it more tomorrow, I'm doing that there. Mamzeros, Nichos, and all different shilas of Hamaitse, Mechavel, Baraya, and Mamain, and it's something which is really not decided. There is no clear Piske Halacha, what do you do in this situation?
Is a matseva from an ancestor documentation?
Possibly, that's possibly pretty good. A matseva is in Eretz Yisrael, they have dayanim, they have special dayanim that have expertise in this. And the imams, they like Tzadot Beis HaMikdash, and the Lishkas HaGozes, they sat the entire day, what did they do the whole day, work on the cases, to check into Yichus. That was the specialty of the dayanim in the Lishkas HaGozes.
In the
Bayis Sheni. To go and pass them Koyhan of them Yichusim. In Eretz Yisrael today, they have a division in the Rabbanut, very, very smart people who are very, very well versed. No, it's part of the Rabbanut. And they work very hard, and they issue major, major decisions. It's like heavy-duty stuff. Telling people if they're Jewish or not. Look, they had that in the news. This is total nonsense. But this goes to show how, you know, how things spread. So Ivanka Trump, her mother, Ivana?
That's the mother.
And the mother. Ivana. So now the new rumors, which have already been totally disproven, so don't get me wrong, don't spread rumors, is that she's really Jewish. That she, the mother of Ivanka, which means all the children, she's really Jewish. So there was no need for Ivanka to convert. Her gerus was not necessary. And the other children, Donald Jr. and they're also Jewish. They're all Jewish because the mother is Jewish. So what?
The last one
that from
different wife.
Right, different wife. No, so this erupted. This story erupted. What do you mean? The mother's name is the Gershon name, and the creator. If you go online, you'll see the creator a whole discussion. So I think now the consensus is that it's not true. It's not true. But look, you know, everyday stories come out like this. Now, doing gerus is not fun. If you don't need to be a ger, you don't want to be a ger, because then you're limiting yourself who you can marry. Okay, you can't.
They
say cannot.
Kate Middleton's mother was Jewish.
That's a question. Look, Cardinal O'Connor, it's confirmed that he was Jewish.
Yeah.
Cardinal O'Connor, Cardinal O'Connor's mother, it was confirmed. This is not a Suffolk. She was Jewish. Okay, it's pretty serious stuff. So so DNA, the question is how far DNA goes. Now, the very interesting is, as I was mentioning before, Levium. The same way there is a gene for Levium, there should be a gene for Kohanim, there should be a gene for Levium. No, it's not the same, because it's a different branch. Kohas, Levi, is a different branch.
He can be a Kohen from his father, but he's a
Cholol, right, that's part of the problem. And a Hanami, that's part of the problem. Mamzerus, what about Mamzerus? What about Chalolim? You're right, these are all very big problems. But how far does it go to how far does it go to contribute? Problem is, Levium, the same technique used, again, I don't know the science, and you're telling me Levium, they come from Kohanim, but obviously there is a science behind this. The same science, exactly the same science applied to Levium, and they know what they're doing, in tracing the lineage of Levium to the Mishpach of Levium, and guess what? It doesn't work. It does. The chromosomes don't match up. The mutations don't match up. And all people who call themselves Levim, the same technique they're using to find who are Kohanim, the exact same technique does not work by Levim. So that means one of two things. It means the yichus of Levim is a lot worse, a lot more mixed up than the yichus of Kohanim, which is shocking. Or maybe it's not shocking, because we know that in the time of Bayis Sheni, no one Levim didn't want to come. That was a kanas. The kanas was all the maaser go to the kanas. No one would do. It was a very great shortage of levim.
Levim would have married much more.
But still, it's good. The Y chromosome, we're going after the father. The Yichud goes to the father. So it goes to show one of two things. Either this whole science doesn't make sense, there's something totally wrong, which we're missing the boat, because if the same thing that works for the Kohanim, which works for the Levium, and if it's not working for the Levium, then either there's something wrong with the science, or it means that the Yichud of the Levium is very, very weak. And when you go look at a Levi, and you go give a person the second Aliyah, who says he's really a Levi? Because the same science that tells us that Kohanim, 98% of Kohanim are Taka Miyuchasim, that means that at the thing they say less than 50% of the Levim are Miyuchasim, or something along those lines. So we got a problem. We got a problem here. How does all of this apply to Halacha? And it's like Halacha L'maisa. Now, when we're talking Halacha L'maisa tomorrow, we'll go over the next level is, when it comes to by next extensions, let's talk about Mamzerus. Let's say a person walks in. The person walks in and he says, "I am the child of this multi-billionaire. I want a chilek in the Yerusha." The person died. He left over $1 billion. I'm a brother. I'm an embarrassment to my father because he had me out of wedlock, and therefore he hid me. No one knew about me. He was embarrassed to the film, but I'm really a child. If I want my share in the billions of dollars of Yerusha, and they look at him, "Who are you? Get out of here! You know, brother to us. We never heard of you before. I'm your brother. You want to do a DNA test?" They do a DNA test, and Enochanami, he's exactly, the DNA is on the mark, he's their brother. Does he have the right, based upon DNA, to be moitzi mamoin from his brothers? Big shayla. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. Stop here.